the Reverend Nico Wiecan is going to come now, and he is going to teach us from God's Word. And the youths are going out. So Father God, we pray in the name above every name that at this Christmas time that we will learn something fresh about you this morning, and then we will be able to put that into practice so that our lives may be rich and full that you had intended for us. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So it's a real joy for me to be sharing this morning with you and to be bringing the Word of God to you. I'm reading from the book of Luke, chapter 4. I just want to make sure I've got this right. Luke chapter 4, yep, and verse 27. And the scripture says here, let me give you the backdrop. Jesus had risen from the dead. And all the disciples were scattered. Perhaps this morning you feel that your life has been uprooted, has been scattered. You find yourself in strange circumstances that you weren't expecting. You find yourself at the beginning of a new chapter in your life. And the disciples had expected Jesus to redeem Israel, to save Israel. They were waiting for a long time for the Messiah to come. And now the Messiah that they put their hope in, Jesus, had been crucified. And so now there was great discouragement. And they were downcast, they were depressed. And suddenly Jesus appears beside the disciples. And he's walking with them, but they don't recognize him. Depression can cause you not to notice things that are happening around you that you need to be able to see. Depression can blind you in many ways. When the mind becomes depressed, there are things you don't see. And I don't know how you're looking at the new year, but I want to tell you in Jesus' name that God wants to lift you up from any place of being downcast to a place where you can see his purposes and plans for your life. 2022 is going to be a great year for you in Jesus' name. And so the disciples find Jesus walking with them, and they ask him, "Don't you know what's been happening? Don't you know what's been going on?" And then he began to speak to them. And he opened up the scriptures to them. And in Luke chapter 24, verse 11, we read, "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." Every page of the Bible speaks about Jesus. You don't have to go far before you see the revelation of Christ in the scriptures. Starting from Genesis right to Revelation, the whole of the Bible speaks about Jesus. The scriptures evangelize. The scriptures bring the good news whatever page you turn to. You know, it says in Isaiah, "For to us a son is born, to us a child is given." And it goes on to say, "And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Or you go to Psalm 22, and you open up Psalm 22 and you read the scriptures. And it talks about, in Psalm 22, it paints a picture of the crucifixion. What happened to Jesus on the cross? It doesn't matter where you look in the Bible. If you look at the tabernacle, tabernacle. The tabernacle, every aspect of the tabernacle speaks about Jesus. From the bronze altar, as you enter the tabernacle, the altar of sacrifice, where Jesus died on the cross and bore our sins upon his body. He sacrificed himself for us. Or the laver, as the priest would wash before they ministered. The laver speaks about the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Or the golden lampstand in the holy place. That speaks about Jesus being the light of the world. Yes, it also speaks about the Holy Spirit. But it speaks about Jesus, the light of the world. Wherever you look in the Bible, you find Jesus there, looking back at you. And so, he opens up the Bible to them. Why? Because they're downcast. They're discouraged. They're depressed. And he wants to lift their gaze. He wants to lift their head. He wants to lift their perspective. I don't know how you're looking at 2022, but I want to tell you that Jesus is standing beside you. And Jesus wants to take you to a place where you see the year coming as a year of blessing for you, as a year of transformation, as a year in which God is going to take you and make you the blessing he intends you to be for this nation. Can somebody say amen, eh? You're going to be a blessing. You're going to be a blessing to this nation. I said you're going to be a blessing to this nation. Forgive my African approach. You see, the Bible reveals what was coming from the Old Testament right through to the New. Why do the scriptures evangelize? Why does the Bible talk about Jesus on every page? You know, in our prayer meeting this morning, one of the pastors in the church said something which blew my mind. How do you translate that? which absolutely amazed me. She said in the prayer meeting, I pray that all of our ministry will be small print compared to making Jesus known. Okay? That whatever we do, whatever our ministry, our job, our station in life, our purpose in life, whatever we produce or achieve, it will be small print compared to us making Jesus known. I wanted to dance when I heard that in the prayer meeting. I was sitting down, so I couldn't dance. Oh, of course, on the 18th of December, you're all going to get an opportunity to dance at the party. And I hear Hong Kong people especially like to dance. I know Scottish people like to dance. My wife is here today, and my wife is from Scotland, and she loves dancing. And I hear the kids all love dancing. We'll all be dancing together. That'll be great. But why do the scriptures evangelize? Why do the scriptures want to make Jesus known on every page? Let me tell you why. You see, in 1 Corinthians 15, it says this. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. The reason the scriptures evangelize is because Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden. And because of Adam's sin, all of us have sinned. And so therefore, the scriptures evangelize because humanity needs to be rescued from sin. We need to be redeemed from sin. We need to be saved from sin. In Adam, we all died because of sin. But in Jesus Christ, we will all be made alive. In Mark chapter 1, the Bible points this out, that Jesus is the answer. And so it talks about the beginning of, in Mark chapter 1 verse 1, the beginning of the gospel. Gospel means good news. So Adam's sin was bad news for humanity. Jesus' advent, Jesus' coming, was good news for humanity. The beginning of the good news about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The gospel is good news. And that's what Jesus wants Christians to proclaim. Jesus wants us as believers to talk about the good news, to bring the good news of his advent, his coming to everybody. You see, why do the scriptures evangelize? Second reason, the scriptures evangelize not just because man has sinned, but because God longs to have relationship with people. God longs to have a friendship with you. God longs for you to know him as your father. God loves you. God cares about you. You're precious to God. And God, when God sees you, God is looking for a way to bring you back into his family. The reason the Bible evangelizes, talks about Jesus in every page, is because humanity needs to be saved from sin, yes. But also, secondly, because God loves you. And God wants a relationship with you. He doesn't want a superficial relationship. He wants a meaningful relationship, a deep relationship with you. God yearns for man. This, it says in 1 Timothy 2 verse 3, this is right and is acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Look, God doesn't have grandchildren. God only has children. Okay? You know, he may have grandchildren, but God doesn't have any grandchildren. God has got sons and daughters. And every one of us has to choose to accept this wonderful love that he shows us in Jesus Christ. Third reason, why do the scriptures evangelize? The scripture, the Bible evangelizes, talks about Jesus in every page because man is lost and can't find his own way back to God. People don't know how to get back to God. And so God has got to open up a pathway, a road for them, illuminate the road for them so that they can find their way back to him. Humanity is lost. I don't know if you've been traveling around Reading. It's hard to get lost in Reading, but some people manage to do it, okay? I don't know how. It's really hard to get lost in Reading. Reading is just a small town. But it's easy to get lost in London. It's easy to get off the wrong tube in London and say, where am I? Okay? The whole of humanity is lost. That's the third reason why the scriptures evangelize. We're lost in many different ways. First of all, we're lost pastorally. Our emotions are broken. We've got broken emotions. What does that mean? It means we need somebody to shepherd our souls, to help us deal with our emotions. Maybe because you're a wonderful Christian, you have not sinned in this last year. Maybe because you're a wonderful Christian, you've not been angry this last year. Has anybody been angry about anything in the last year? Yeah. Has anybody been angry and think it was wrong of me to be angry? Okay. You see, we need help with our emotions. Pastorally, we're lost. So we need God to come alongside us and help us with our emotions, because our emotions lead us astray. Intellectually, we're lost. If man could find his way back to God, because we're very clever, then the whole world would have turned to him by now. Some of us are so clever, we think we're more clever than God himself. But when you understand God's intellectual capacity knows no limit, the idea that our intellect is a barrier to knowing God is flawed thinking. If you're really smart, then you should be thinking, wow, everything points to God. Just like Jesus opens up the scriptures on the Emmaus Road, your intellect should help you. But no, we're lost intellectually. We get caught up in ideas that obscure God. That's why the scriptures evangelize. Because man is pastorally lost, intellectually lost. And so what is the message of the gospel? Well, the good news of the gospel is this. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came. And what we lost because of Adam's sin, Jesus restored on the cross. He died on the cross, taking your sin, the things that you've done wrong in the sight of God, your sins, taking them upon himself, so that you would no longer face the wrath of God, the anger of God, or the rejection of God. But that if you would repent of your sin and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that you also will be forgiven of your sins. Remember, God doesn't have grandchildren. Just because your parents were Christians doesn't make you a Christian. You have to accept Jesus yourself. Just because your parents were born again and walked with Jesus and loved Jesus doesn't mean you're a Christian. You have to make a decision to follow him yourself. Everybody does. And so the message of the gospel is good news. Everybody can be saved. Now, so God has a rescue plan. And that rescue plan was that Jesus would come and take his sin, our sins upon himself. It says in 1 Peter 2 and verse 4, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men but chosen by God and precious to him, you two are being built into a spiritual house. He took upon himself the wages of our sin. When you go to work, you earn a living. Your boss pays you for the work you do. What we earn from living in rebellion to God is the wages of sin. And so Jesus took upon himself the wages of your sin so that you could be free from the burden of it. And why did he do it? Why did Jesus do this for you and for me? Why did he die on the cross and shed his blood for us? Why did he do it? Well, Jesus did it because he loves you. The Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. At Christmas time, I want you to remember this, at Christmas time, when we celebrate Christmas, what is the most important thing we want people to know? That Jesus loves them, that God cares about them, that they are precious to him, that he doesn't want them to be lost, that he wants them to be saved. This is the most important thing about Christmas. It's not the Xbox or the PlayStation or the presents under the Christmas tree. It's not the lights. It's not the Christmas turkey. If you eat turkey, we don't eat turkey. We don't like turkey. We eat duck. I don't know what you're doing. It's not the food. It's not even the wonderful feeling we have when our family's all together. No, the most important thing about Christmas is that Jesus came for a broken world because he loves this world, because he loves you, because you are precious to God, because you are precious to him, because God cares about you. That's why Jesus came. And when we go into Christmas, you may feel alone. You may feel this has been a difficult year for you. But I want to remind you that Jesus has been with you every step. If you've got Jesus with you, you'll never be lost. Somebody say amen. And so this, what happens on the cross? Let me tell you what happens on the cross. When Jesus died on the cross, we have something called the divine exchange. The divine exchange. And that is that Jesus took upon himself our sins, so that we might have his righteousness. Okay? So he took upon himself our, that's the divine exchange. You don't get what you deserve. You get the love and mercy of God. So when you accept Jesus, he takes your sin and you receive his righteousness. What does that mean? You know, like when you see an apple tree, you have fruit, you know, if only this was a real tree that produced gold balls, we would have a guard on this side and a guard on that side, because this would be precious fruit. Eh? A tree produces fruit, all kinds of different fruit. The fruit that's produced on the cross is reconciliation with God. God is no longer distant and far away. God now becomes your father. He's near you. He's with you. God is no longer a distant deity that we hear about. God becomes the dad that walks down the road with you and speaks to you. That's the fruit. It's reconciliation. You're reconciled to God. This is great news. It's not just good news. It's great news. God now becomes your father. The fruit of this exchange is you're redeemed. You know, my wife had, last year, we wanted to buy a PlayStation 5. Anybody here wanted to buy a PlayStation? No, nobody wanted to buy a PlayStation. We're the only ones here. And last year, we were desperate. We couldn't buy one. There wasn't enough PlayStation 5. Was we the only ones that wanted to buy? Anybody else want to buy a PlayStation 5 last year? Yeah. Hey, did you get one? You got one. You got two. It's your fault. It's your fault we couldn't buy any because you got two. And we couldn't find any. And this year, Fiona had an idea. We went into the shop and they went, yes, you can sign up to buy it. And we went to pick it up on Saturday. Yeah, we got a PlayStation for our child. The more you pay the price for that PlayStation, it's yours. The more you paid for it, it's yours. When Jesus died on the cross, he redeemed you. He purchased you from the power of darkness, from the power of Satan. You're redeemed, you're bought, you're purchased. You're no longer a slave to sin. You're now a child of God. You're no longer under oppression to darkness. You're now a child of God. You're free, redeemed, purchased by the blood of the Lamb. So the fruit of the divine exchange is that you are now redeemed, reconciled to God. You're reconciled to God. You're now redeemed. You've been purchased. You now belong to God. And you have been saved. Now, I want to say this. If you've never been baptized, it's really important to really consider being baptized. We have a baptistry just there. And yes, just where you're sitting, just underneath you, there's a baptistry. And we promise you, when we baptize people in the church, we only hold them down for 5 minutes. That's all, just 5 minutes. And I'm only joking, we don't hold people down for 5 minutes. Yeah. But we do believe in resurrection. When you're saved, what happens when you're redeemed, you then choose to follow Jesus. And part of following Jesus is you get baptized. If you're born again and you're saved, if you've given your life to Jesus, you should be baptized. Now, of course, some churches, some denominations baptize by sprinkling, and it's a recognized form of baptism, and we understand that. Others, we're a Baptist church, we do it properly. That is, we make sure you're dunked in the water. There's an English custom over here. There's a custom over here for among the English. Joanna's English. Yana is South African. I'm Nigerian. Mabel's Irish, but Joanna's English. But there's a custom they have among the English. When they have a cup of tea, okay, they have a biscuit, digestive biscuits, and they dunk it. Yeah, before they eat it, you know. They dunk it in the tea. Is this what the English will do? Yes. It makes the biscuit taste so good. Okay? When you get dunked in the waters of baptism, the Bible tells us that the old you is circumcised, is cut off from you. And this is important. It's important because some of you may say, I've been struggling with my Christian life and I don't know why. Well, let me explain what happens in the waters of baptism. In the waters of baptism, there's a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit in which he circumcises the old nature. This is why baptism is important. It's not just an act of obedience. There's a supernatural thing that happens in the waters of baptism. The Spirit of God circumcises the old nature, and it's left in the waters. It's a bit like this. Imagine when you become a new creation, the old has gone and the new has come. But what the waters of baptism does is it cuts off the old from you entirely. Okay? The old is left behind. It's really an important thing to do. And I think that's really important. And so finally this morning, so at the fruit of this reconciliation, this divine exchange, I'm saved. But I understand that I have to work out my salvation every day. I have to live as a Christian every day, not just sometimes. I have to walk as a Christian. There should be fruit in my life that shows I'm a Christian. It should be obvious I'm a Christian. When I'm driving down the motorway and somebody drives in front of me, I don't shout at them. Stupid person, what do you think you're doing? If I do, I repent. Okay? Because we want the character of Christ to be manifest in our lives. So we work out our salvation with fear, the Bible says, and trembling. We're careful how we live our lives because we want to live for Jesus. And I would say that now is not the time, but there's going to come a time when many of you are going to have to let God heal your hearts. Because you've just gone through a very difficult experience. Many of you here have gone through really difficult, traumatic experiences. And it's been hard for you. Many of you have got broken hearts because of what you've had to leave behind. But I felt this morning that Jesus wants you to remember that he's a God who heals broken hearts. And just like he came alongside his disciples who were brokenhearted when they thought everything was lost, he came to remind them that God has a plan, that God's purposes will prevail. You may have gone through a difficult year and a hard year, but in this community we have ministry that will help you overcome the pains that you've gone through in your heart. We will minister to your wounded heart. We will minister to your broken heart. And God will heal it in Jesus' name. Now is not the time. But sometime next year, for those of you who are carrying wounds in your heart, we will help you understand how to forgive and how to let go of those wounds so that you can move on in God's purposes. It's not a good thing to carry wounds in your heart. And you know, when you meet somebody who's hurt, and you say to them, how are you? And they say, I'm okay. And they're acting like crying. They say, but you're crying. No, I'm not crying, I'm okay. I can tell you're not okay. And in the UK, usually that's an opportunity to have a cup of tea. And a little chat. And so I want to close with this. What's the best thing you could do for Jesus this Christmas? On the 18th of December, we're having a party, and we've hired this big place, big venue. It can hold 800 people, so there'll be lots of space. You know, we'll do our best to keep people safe, and of course, we encourage people. You know, we do encourage people to wear masks unless they've got exemption. We try and encourage people to do that, and to make sure that we want to follow the rules. But I want to say to you that on the 18th of December, I want to encourage you to invite your non-Christian friends. We have Sharon Sheck is coming. Sharon Sheck came and preached here. How many of you were here when Sharon came to preach? Yeah? Okay. So Sharon Sheck is a lady appointed by the Baptist Union to help us with helping Hong Kong people as they've moved over here to the UK. She's going to be preaching on that Sunday. And then we've got an evangelist. We've got two preachers on that Sunday. It's not Saturday, sorry, Saturday. We've got a chap called Ben who works with the Evangelical Alliance. And he's going to be bringing a gospel message. And I want to encourage you, Christmas is all about Jesus. So please invite your friends. And if they cannot afford to come, don't worry about the money.
don't worry about the money. If they can't afford to come, that's okay. They can still come. Okay? We'll cover it. Don't let the money become an obstacle for them. So if you know people that you know need Jesus, then please invite them for the 18th of December. Why? Because Christmas is all about the good news of Jesus Christ. And that's what matters the most. Is anybody here this morning and you would say to me, Pastor Yinka, I'm not sure that I'm born again Christian. I'm not sure I have accepted Jesus as my Savior. But I want to accept Jesus as my Savior. I want to become a Christian. I want to ask God to forgive me of my sins. I heard you say God doesn't have grandchildren, so I want to become a child. I want to give you a chance to respond, and this is how we're going to do it. We're going to ask in a minute, and we're going to ask everybody to bow their head and to close their eyes. And if you would like to give your life to Jesus, I want to pray for you. I don't want to embarrass anybody. So when everybody bows their head, if you would like to give your life to Jesus and become a Christian, then put up your hand, and I will see your hand and I will pray for you. Okay? So let's bow our head in prayer, please. Father, we thank you that Jesus died for all our sins. And at this Christmas time, we want to make sure that we have repented of our sins and accepted Jesus. And so, Father, we pray this morning for those who would like to take that step. If you would like me to pray for you to become a Christian, if you want to give your life to Jesus for the first time, then please, right now, where you're seated, put your hand right up. Put it right up in the air. Saying, yes, Inka, I want you to pray for me. I want to become a Christian. And then you can put your hand back down again. And I'll see your hand, and I'll pray for you to become a Christian. So if you'd like me to pray for you, please put up your hand now. Wonderful. Thank you, sir. Is anybody else? Anybody else apart from this gentleman? Wonderful. And so, Father, we pray, Lord, for this gentleman this morning, that as he said, he wants to become a Christian. Father, we pray that you minister into his heart, that you help him understand what it means to repent of sin, and that you help him understand what it means to accept Jesus as Savior. Thank you for his willingness to accept Jesus today. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, Amen. One final prayer. If you know somebody that you want to invite to the 18th, if there's somebody you'd like to invite to the 18th, can you put up your hand so I can see? If you know somebody you want to invite, I want to pray for those people. So, yeah, you know somebody, okay? Anybody else know anybody they want to invite to the 18th? Okay, well, we're going to pray for those who know people that they want to invite. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we pray that as we encourage people to come to the 18th, the party, as we invite our friends, Father, we pray that they would say yes. Lord, we pray they would come. They would hear the good news about Jesus Christ. And Father, we ask that they would respond to the gospel at that event. And Lord, we pray for ourselves that, Lord, you would lift our head, that we wouldn't walk around despondent or discouraged because of the year we've had. But Lord, we would take hope that you are with us like you were with the disciples on the Emmaus Road. You are with us. You're going into 2022 with us. We're not by ourselves. We're not alone. And for that, we thank you, Lord. Thank you for this community that we found. Thank you, Lord, for this community in which we can be one, your family together. Father, for all these precious gifts, we give you thanks in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.
Amen.